Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7. This passage from the Sermon of Jesus on the Mount. Chapters 5 and 6 and 7 are a collection of teachings that the Lord did refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to begin to read, please, at verse number 1, Matthew chapter 7. These are the words of the Son of God, therefore the Word of God. "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." A very familiar passage of Scripture, and one that reflects, that is reflected, in many other areas of the New Testament especially, that we are instructed, we are required, yea, we are even commanded not to judge one another. Now, how many times have you heard it preached from the pulpits in God's churches, "Judge not, lest you be judged"? Be careful about judging another person. Be careful what you say that would bring judgment upon another individual and another human being. And truly, that is what this passage of Scripture refers to. That we have no right to judge one another in the sense that Jesus is expressing it. But if you continue to read in the Word of God, you'll have the same problem that I had, and it begins in verse 6. Right after Jesus said, don't you judge another person, because if you do so, you're going to be judged the same way. In the same breath almost, Jesus said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, and neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Now we have two commandments here. One is judge not, and the second one is don't give what's holy to the dogs or cast your pearls before swine. Now in order to know what a dog is or what a swine is, a person would have to make a judgment. Is that not right? I said, is that not right? How are you going to know if there are two animals here and one's a cow and one's a hog? How are you going to know which one is which unless you judge one a cow and judge one a hog? Is that right? If there are two animals here and one is a dog and one is a rabbit, in order to determine which one is the dog, I have to judge, don't I? I have to make a judgment that this is a rabbit and this is a dog. I see right here a woman. I judge her to be a woman. Is that against the Word of God? I make a judgment that she's a woman. I make a judgment here that this is a young boy. But Jesus said, judge not. How could he say in one breath, judge not? In another breath, he said, make a judgment. How could he possibly do that? Remember when you first were born again, you were in your old church, most of you, well, a great many. How many of you were born again as a result of this ministry? Let me see your hands if you were born again as a result of this ministry. Okay. That means the rest of you received Christ as the result of someone else's ministry. How many of you were a part of another church when you were born again and or filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hands. A large number. All right. Now, when you were born again and when you received Jesus Christ and you recognized what had happened to you that was different, and you began to share this experience with your fellow church members, and you began to share this new experience that you'd had with the people in your family and the ones that you worked with, what did the Christians accuse you of doing? Say, you're judging me. You have no right to judge me. How many times Have you heard that? And always this passage of Scripture, judge not, lest ye be judged, would be the Scripture that is given to you. Now, the Lord has commanded us to share the gospel with the world. If I come to this sister right here and begin to share the good news with her and begin to tell her about Jesus, and I already know her, what am I saying about her? That she needs to hear it. Is that right? She must need. I've made a judgment that this is a person that needs to know the truth. You don't, by the way. But here, I'm just using you as an example. But here's a person, you see, who needs to hear the Word of God. If I do not make that judgment, I would never share the gospel with people. Or I might share it with you, and you say, oh, I know all that. I say, well, okay. See, whether you do or not. Do you see the problem? Do you see how misunderstanding this truth has bottled up Christians? Has bottled up the testimony that is in them, has bottled up the power of God that is resident inside a believer, and has shut Christians' mouths. All this time, you were making judgments, and you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew. But you couldn't do anything with it. And it frustrated you. The problem is, what am I going to do? Jesus said, judge not, but then he said, don't give what's holy to the dogs. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12, and I believe that if we want to know what God's word means, the only logical and the only safe method of understanding the word of God is to go elsewhere in God's word and let the word of God interpret itself. My Bible says that Scripture is not subject to private interpretation. I'm not interested in knowing what you think it says, and you're not interested in knowing what I think it says. But I believe we're all interested in knowing what God says it says. Is that right? Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12, beginning to read at verse number 54. Now, if you'll watch this carefully, the Lord will open something up for you here this morning, set you free in this area of your life. Jesus is speaking here to the people. He's apparently speaking to a crowd that is not in agreement with him. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern the time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Now, what's he talking about here? He said, I've come and I've preached to you, and you are unable to make a correct judgment as to whether I'm right or wrong. He said, you're able to make a judgment concerning the weather. When you see a cloud rise in the west, you know that the rain is coming. Now, what word did he use to describe the act of making a judgment concerning the weather? He used the word discern. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you don't discern the time. And then in verse 57, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Now the word judge there is the Greek word krino, K-R-I-N-O. It is the same Greek word that is used in Matthew 7, 1 and 2. It's exactly the same word. And you will find this Greek word krino and variations of it, anakrino and diakrino and various other modifications of that same root word used all through the Greek New Testament, translated judge. But I find that the word judge is used here to mean two different things. It can mean to condemn, but it also means to discern or to distinguish. And the primary meaning of the word krino is to distinguish or to decide. And your Strong's Concordance will tell you that by implication, it means to condemn. It doesn't necessarily mean condemn, but the implication is to condemn. Now you can see here that Jesus is not talking about condemning whether he's right or wrong. He's talking about discerning, distinguishing. Whether he's right or wrong. Do you see the use of the word? Do you understand that? All right, now turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter number 7. I'll show you once again what I mean. I'm going to give you several examples here because if you've never seen this before, if it's a new concept for you, it might not be easy for you to take it right into your spirit. So we'll show you several witnesses and then you can do some study on your own. John's Gospel chapter 7 and verse number 24. The words of Jesus. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, if that word always means, this is the word krino once again, if the word judge there literally means condemn, then you would have to read this verse like so. Condemn not according to the appearance, but condemn righteous judgment. It doesn't make any sense, does it? It just doesn't make any sense at all. It means distinguish, make a decision based on righteous judgment. Discern the truth. All right, now look at John chapter 8, and I'm going to show you a passage of Scripture that has long bothered me. I have pored over it, not hours, but certainly on numerous occasions for extended periods of time. And I don't know if this is the way you study your Bible or not, but the way I do is I read through a passage of Scripture. If I see something I don't understand, I stop right there. And I begin to pore over that and just meditate on that. And I begin to pray in tongues over that passage of Scripture. And I ask the Lord, what does that mean? Show me what that means. And I don't move on until I understand what that says. But from time to time, I'll find a passage that I do everything I know how to do and I still don't understand it. And I finally give up and just commit it to the Lord. I say, well, Lord, I don't understand that, but it's all right. You bring it back to me when I do. This is one passage where I hit exactly that. I did not understand that. This passage. Let me read it to you. It's verses 15 and 16. And it was not until I understood this concept that I went back and the Lord showed me this passage and said, remember that? This is what it means. This is Jesus once again. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. All right, now I want to take the last half of verse 15 and the first half of verse 16, and I want to read it like this. This is Jesus now, and let's imagine that Jesus were standing here this morning, and he said to you, I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. It's a contradiction, isn't it? He says, I don't judge anybody, but if I do, my judgment is true. Why would he say, if I do? If he didn't judge anybody, why would he say, if I do, my judgment is true? I'll tell you why. Now I'm going to read the verse the way I believe that it's meant. I condemn no man, but if I discern, my discernment is true. I don't condemn anybody, but I do distinguish between right and wrong, and my discerning and my decision there is true. Don't you see that? Don't you see that? Because I'm not alone. I and my Father are one. Time after time after time, Jesus said, I don't judge you. I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but he did make judgments. He did make distinctions between that which is right and that which was wrong. Elsewise, in the Gospel of Matthew, how would he say over and over again, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. I want you to know if you call a man a hypocrite, you are making a judgment about him. Jesus said, I don't judge any man, but yet he called the Pharisees hypocrites. What did he mean by that? He didn't condemn them, but he called a spade a spade. Do you see this? Do you understand it? All right, now let's go over, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to look at several passages there in 1 Corinthians 5. I believe that when you deal with a new concept, you must have enough Scripture to demonstrate the validity of what you're saying you've got to have enough truth to drive out the misunderstanding. Jesus said in one place, I believe it's Mark's Gospel, the 7th chapter, he said, you've made the Word of God of none effect by your tradition. And traditionally, we've heard so much about making judgments and judging that we're really not open, many of us, to what I'm sharing with you this morning. And I say to you today, as I always have, If I preach to you the Word of God, you want to be sure and receive it. If I don't preach the Word of God, you reject it and you pray for me. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, Paul writing to the group of believers at Corinth, and in this particular situation, Paul had heard of a man there that was involved in an illicit sexual relationship with his stepmother. And he said in verse number 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, if we are not to make judgments, what right does Paul have to tell the church to send that man out of the body, drum him out, so to speak, so that his flesh would be destroyed and his spirit saved? Now go down to verse 11 and verse 12. This passage always gave me trouble because of what I understood about Matthew 7. But now I have written unto you. How many of you believe that 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is the Word of God? Let me see your hands if you believe that this is the Word of God. All right? All right, what we are reading now is not a man's opinion. We're reading God's Word. Now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? We are given here the responsibility within the church to make discerning judgments concerning what goes on in the body of Christ. We are to make judgments, not to condemn, but rather to distinguish between that which is holy and that which is profane, to make a decision between that which is right and that which is wrong, and to make a determination between those who do the right and those who do the wrong, not to condemn those who do wrong, but in order to restore, if at all possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, another passage, beginning to read in verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye not unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Now, here's another example, that we are not to condemn our brethren, but we are to make judgments between them according to the instructions in the New Testament for the New Testament church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Turn over to that one. We'll just read one verse here. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 29. A familiar verse to us. Paul says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Now surely you would not think that this word would mean condemn. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other condemn. No. Let the other discern. Let the other make a judgment, make a decision based on whether that is of God or not of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's a lot of this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning to read at verse number 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Do you see the distinction there between judging ourselves to avoid the condemnation of the world? What Paul is saying is, if we will discern ourselves, then we'll not have to be condemned with the rest of the world. Now, obviously, Paul could not be saying here, if we condemn ourselves. My Bible says in Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. It says in Romans 8, 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died, yea, rather that liveth and is risen again for us. And so obviously it can't mean to condemn, it means to discern. All right, what's the bottom line in all of this? I think you can see that the word judge, when you find this word judge in your New Testament, that you must read the context to determine whether it means to condemn or to make a decision. For we are commanded to do both. We are commanded to refrain from condemning, but we are commanded to make discerning judgments. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of James, I think we can put this all in a capsule here and see what the bottom line is. I believe it's important for Christians to understand this because it is easy for us to come under self-condemnation when we feel a certain way towards a person, or when we feel a certain way towards an idea, or when we feel a certain way towards a ministry, and when you discern in your spirit that something that your brother is doing is wrong, and you have that sense of uneasiness in your spirit, and you are discerning, you are judging in a discerning way, and the devil will be right behind that thought to condemn you for making that judgment. Book of James, chapter number 4, and verse number 11 and 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother. Now, this is the condemning kind of judgment. You can see it in the context. Speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But now, what law is he talking about here? What is the law for the new creation? What law are we under? The law of love. Jesus said, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. And all of the law, according to Romans chapter 13 and verse, I believe, 8, all of the law is fulfilled in one thing. What is that? Love. Thou shalt love one another. Love is the law. All right, James says that if a man speaks evil of his brother and condemns his brother, and this is how you can tell what kind of judging is referred to there, if you can put the word condemn in and it fits. He speaks evil of the law and judgeth or condemneth the law. In other words, he's saying the law of God is no good. He's condemning God's law, the law of love. And if thou judge or condemn the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but rather a judge or a condemner. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who's that? That's God, it's the Lord. Who art thou that judgest another? God himself did not condemn the world. God himself has yet to condemn one human being. I've heard it said time and time again, and so have you. I don't understand a loving God who would condemn a man to spend eternity in hell. I want you to know today, if you don't know this yet, that God never condemned one single man to hell. Now read Matthew 25 and 41, and you will find out that hell was not prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And a man goes to hell because he condemns himself, not because God condemned him. God has never condemned a single person. Read John chapter 3 and you'll see that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn it. He came into the world to save it. But men who would not receive him condemn themselves. God Almighty, remember this now, has never condemned a single person. There's no condemnation in him. He wants restoration. He will make discerning and distinguishing judgments only to bring a person back to himself. He never condemns. James chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us about God and his attitude. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. God's mercy rejoices against condemnation. God is merciful, not judgmental. He is merciful, not condemning. And he says here, if you won't be like me, if you insist on condemning, If you insist on being like the devil, it's the devil who is condemning all the time. It's the devil that fills your minds with thoughts of condemnation and thoughts of judgment. And all of those things, they come from him. If you identify with him and do that to one another, God's word says that that's what will happen to you. And then if you'll turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm sorry. I'm going to read this from the Living Bible, if I have one here. From the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I think we can see the balance here in Paul's letter. Now, I'm going to read beginning in the 11th verse of 2 Corinthians 6, but you follow along in whatever Bible you have. I'm going to read about 10 verses or so here. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he is remonstrating them about some things that are going on in their church. He has made a judgment about some things that are happening there. He has judged them, if you will, but he refuses to condemn them. Oh, my dear Corinthian friends, I have told you all my feelings. I love you with all my heart. Any coldness still between us is not because of any lack of love on my part, but because your love is too small and does not reach out to me and draw me in. I am talking to you now as if you truly were my very own children. Open your hearts to us and return our love. Don't be teamed with those who do not love the Lord. For what do the people of God have in common with the people of sin? How can light live with darkness? Be careful of your friends, he said. And what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a Christian be a partner with one who does not believe? What union can there be between God's temple and idols? For you are God's temple, the home of the living God. And God has said of you, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is why the Lord has said, leave them. Separate yourselves from them. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Having such great promises as these, dear friends, let us turn away from every wrong, whether of body or spirit, and purify ourselves, living in the wholesome fear of God, giving ourselves to Him alone. Please open your hearts to us again, for not one of you has suffered any wrong from us. Not one of you was led astray. We have cheated no one nor taken advantage of anyone. I am not saying this to condemn you, for as I have said before, you are in my heart forever, and I live and die with you. Now, what's he saying? There's some troubles in your church, and you better get them straightened up. I make a judgment and a decision. I distinguish between some of the things that you're doing, which are not right, and that which the Word of God says you should do, which are right. Now, get those things straightened up. Get this junk out of your life and become draw nigh to the Lord. Separate yourselves from the things of the world and draw unto the Lord, and He'll be your Father. Now, I'm not condemning you. Chapter 7, verse 3. I don't condemn you. My heart is open to you. Do you see this? If you see it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Yes, we are to make judgments. Yes, we are to discern between right and wrong. Yes, we are to discern the fruits of those who profess to be believers. Yes, we are to make decisions about those things that we're going to do and those things that we're not going to do. But no, we are not to condemn in judgmental condemnation another human being, whether it be husband or wife, child, parent, employee, employer, neighbor, school buddy, president, county commissioner. It doesn't make any, it begin to hit some places there. Your doctor, dumb doctor. See, that's speaking evil and judging him. See, dumb preacher, dumb pastor. What'd he do that for? Now, you discern whether I do what's right and whether I do what's wrong, but don't condemn me, because if you do, you're condemning yourself. And I have to walk in the same thing. You see, the bottom line is walk in love. Walk in love. Don't ever walk out of love. That dumb husband of mine, I don't think he'll ever amount to a tinker's flip. See, now those are words of condemnation. Those are condemning, judgmental words. Now, it's all right for you to understand what your husband is doing is wrong, but don't condemn him for it. Pray for it. Love him. Believe God for him, you see? Don't condemn your dad because you don't understand what he's doing. Oh, my dad, he thinks I ought to be home at 11 o'clock at night. No 16-year-old is home at 11. All the kids at school think that I'm a sissy. There's something wrong with me. Don't condemn your dad. Don't condemn your dad because when you do, next thing you wind up, you're going to have to be home at 10 instead of 11. You see, you're going to have to walk in that. Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love with your father, mother, whatever that relationship is. And so that is the bottom. Speak evil of no man in a condemning and judgmental way. And frankly, you need to be careful what you speak about anybody. See? And I don't want folks running around like this. Now, I'm not condemning her, but let me tell you what she did yesterday. You are walking on the thin line there. You know, and the wire is about to break. You go over to Ephesians 4, and if we had some more time, we'd go into there today, where it says, let no evil communication proceed from your mouth. Make your own decisions, but most of them are best kept between yourself and God. If you want to talk to somebody about it, talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord, I love her. Oh, Lord, I love her so much. And Lord, I forgive her for what she did. I'm sure she didn't know what she was doing. Lord, just do a work in her life and then let go of it. Make a decision, take it to the Lord, and then forget it. Hey, live in love and walk in love one to the other. That's the way Jesus did it. He never took advantage. He never took revenge against anything that was done to him, even though he made a distinction between that which was right and that which was wrong. So don't be afraid to make judgment. Don't be afraid to make righteous judgment according to the verse that we read from the Gospel of John. Make a decision about that which is right or wrong. Don't be wishy-washy about sin. Call sin, sin, and call righteousness, righteousness. Call the unclean thing unclean, and call the pure thing pure. Call the profane, profane, and call the holy, holy. But don't condemn another human being. If you do, you're going to walk in that same condemnation yourself. Because when you speak it, you are speaking condemnation on yourself. Let's pray. Father, it would be absolutely impossible for us to love each other or love another human being the way we are commanded to do if it wasn't that your Spirit had shed abroad in our hearts your love. Because your love doesn't take account of the wrong that's done to it. Your account does not keep score. Your account does not hold on to grudges. Your love does not hold on to grudges. Your love is patient and it's kind. It's not envious. It's not puffed up and it doesn't seek itself. It doesn't seek to gratify its own desires. Your love doesn't know any evil. It doesn't know any wrong. It bears all things. It endures all things. It believes all things and it hopes all things. Your love never fails. But we see, Father, that your love is not blind. That your love is not just some gushy thing that lets any kind of wickedness go on. Your love also calls sin, sin. But in calling sin, sin, your love makes a way of escape. Your love makes a way for deliverance. Your love makes a way of salvation, and that way is through Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray for this congregation this morning, Father. I pray for every person who's here, young or old, male or female, saved or unsaved, happy or sad. I pray for each and every one, Father, and I ask that the word that's been preached this morning would edify and benefit, strengthen the believer, that it would convict the unbeliever, bring those who have not trusted upon Jesus, whether by ignorance or by deceit, to a place of receiving Christ as Lord. Father, we see that there is no more important decision for us to make, no more important judgment for any of us to make than to judge ourselves and to discern ourselves as sinners and to see that without Jesus Christ, we're sinners. That the only way that we can change is to get that new life, to become a new creature, to be born all over again by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, if there's anybody in this service this morning that is unsaved, that does not know Jesus as Lord, that you by your Spirit would shine light, that that individual or individuals would be enabled to make a discerning judgment that would say, hey, my life is not what the Bible says it ought to be. Hey, my life doesn't really reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Hey, all these things I've been saying for years, they're not really true. I've been believing a lie. I'm still in my sin, and I need to be forgiven. Only you can show that, Father, the same as you showed it to me. Only by your Spirit can we see our condition. And Father, I just ask you to show each of us this morning what our true spiritual condition is. For those who already know you, Father, and have been born again of your Spirit, I pray for a spirit of joy and rejoicing in knowing that the impressions of our hearts are right, that truly the thoughts of the righteous are right, that the revelation that you give us in our heart concerning right and wrong, that it's true, it's right. And just like Jesus said, I condemn no man, but my discerning is right. If I do make a judgment and make a discerning, my judgment is correct because I and the Father are one. I pray, Lord, that we'd be able to say that same, make that same confession for ourselves, that we and the Father are one. No, we're not Jesus, but we are His body. And that we could confess and declare with confidence and with assurance that we are one with the Father and it's His Spirit that lives inside us. And therefore, the discerning that comes from the Spirit is true, it's faithful, and it's right, and that we would have the confidence to act upon it, to pray in accordance with it, Father, and to flow as the Spirit in us is flowing. Thank you, Father, for opening this concept up to us this morning and for exposing more of your truth to us. We want so much to grow and mature, and to grow up into the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're accomplishing that in us. Now, Father, we bless you for Jesus. We bless you that there's salvation in Him, and that as we know Him, we grow to be more and more like Him every day. Father, I've asked you to save every person who's here this morning that doesn't know you. And Lord, I want each person to have an opportunity to respond to that invitation. And so I ask you, Lord, to quicken by your Spirit in each of our hearts. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you've heard something declared today that has caused you to understand your situation in a way that you never did before, and you know in your heart that your sin's never been covered, that your transgression's never been forgiven, that your sin's still with you, you know in your heart that you're a sinner and you're not unwilling to admit that and confess it before God and before your fellow man. You want to be saved today. You want to receive Jesus as your Savior. You want a new life. Would you just lift your hand? Just raise your right hand that I may see it and that God may see it. Thereby, in so doing, say, I want my sins forgiven. I want my sins washed away. I want a new life. And is there anybody here like that this morning? Well, Father, we thank you for the work that you've done among us this morning, Lord. Blessed be the wonderful name of Jesus. We glorify him, our Father. Amen.